Just tell the churches that, you know, I've had these hips put in, and when they get a little dry, I just put a little WD-40 in there, and I go on. And, you know, everybody just like you, they sometimes laugh. And I got over to Russia, and I decided I would tell them the same thing, but they don't know what WD-40 is. So I said, when my hips get a little dry, put a little oil in there. And wouldn't you know, after the service, why, one of the old men came up to me, and he said, you know, Brother Mackish, I got a question. He said, how do you get that oil in those hips? So that's the penalty you pay sometimes with that. But I had a nice dinner here, I guess, with the CMF committee. And I want to compliment you folks. Really, honestly, you impressed me. Tremendously, you impressed me. And I'll tell you what, you folks got a great CMF committee here. And, you know, I want to, that's right, let's give them a hand. And I want to commend Mandy Pokrant for her work. You know, they had the retired missionaries here for dinner. What was it, in the spring, wasn't it? And you know, she got up, and I was just amazed at the poise that this lady has, and to say what you did, sort of off the hip, and just did a great job. And I'll tell you what, she's got a great future. And I told her I was going to say that tonight. God bless you, Mandy. And every one of you, I'm really impressed. God bless you. Now, I've got it. You always, if you're going to learn anything, you always recognize your friends. You people, your young preachers, you're going out, never forget your friends in a service if you've got time. And I think tonight, with what I got to say, there's going to be time. But I want to recognize the Fellies, and they were my first guests. When we came to Vienna, Austria, we were assigned to Eastern Europe, the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, and the Fellies came through on their way home for furlough. And God bless them, 40 years in missions, did a tremendous job, and I want to tell you, I commend you folks. God bless you. And sitting right next to them, Dr. Paul Lohnberg, who used to be my district superintendent, and he's here, and he traveled with me in Czechoslovakia and Eastern Europe. And what a man, 70 years of ministry, praise God, that's tremendous. And then right next to him, well, let's see, right here, Brother Michael Peterson, missionary to Mexico, your MIR, doing a great job, and I'm impressed with everything you've done. God bless you. And then I look up the thing, and I see another former superintendent, Daryl Musgrove, and his sister, Leota Marar, sitting here. And then over there is Dr. Charles Harris. He came over to Latvia with him and his wife and did a tremendous work for us. A lot of false doctrine going on. He came in and he and his wife and straightened out a lot of it, did a great work, then went to the Ukraine and did some more work there. And so I'm grateful for him as well. Well, I think I've covered everybody. I hope I didn't miss anybody out there. Now, the next thing you do when you get warm, you take your jacket off. Are we okay? Michael, you want to get this for me? If any coins fall out, you can keep them. But you know, when I was young in the mission field, I weighed 325 pounds. And you know, they got talking scales now in England. Did you know that? Talking scales. So when you get on the scale, you don't get a little card that says what your weight is. You put your coin in, the machine tells you how much you weigh. So there was a lady, two ladies in front of me, and they got on and they put their coin in, and the machine said, your weight today is 110 pounds. The other lady, she put her coin in and said, your weight today, you're 142 pounds. I got on that scale and I put my coin in, and the machine said, one person at a time, please. But you know, I want to recognize the school as a national basketball champion. That's tremendous. You know, I was an all-state in football and basketball in Kansas, and I recognize that's a tremendous accomplishment. But I want to tell you folks something. Central Bible College is a national championship school. I'm a graduate of this school, and I thank God for the national championship president you got, the national championship faculty that you got, and the national championship staff. Let's give them a hand. Praise God. Amen. You know, I'm going to get into my message here in a minute. But you know, in Russia, we have a lot of long services. I mean, when I first got there, friends, I'm talking about 4 and 5 hours. And you know, that even wore the missionary slick. 5 hour service. And the brethren like to tell this story that a guy wanted to visit one of our Pentecostal churches. He'd never been in a 5 hour service. So he's sitting there, 1 hour went by, 2 hours went by, 3 hours went by, no preaching from the pastor yet, choir singing, 4 hours went by. So finally he got tired. And after 4 hours, he got up and started, and the pastor came up to make some announcements. And the guy started up, you know, when people are upset, they let you know it when they leave a service, believe me. You know, out the door, started out. Pastor said, "Hey, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to go get a haircut." Pastor said, "A haircut? Why didn't you get a haircut before you came to church?" He said, "Because when I came to church, I didn't need a haircut." But I'll tell you, there's a lot of truth in that, believe me. But now my message tonight is that my text is going to come later in the message. But there's a pattern of the ministry in the 4th chapter of Matthew and the 4th chapter of Luke. And in both cases, Jesus, here's the alliteration. If you look at it later, he prepared, he preached, and he produced in that order. You don't go preach and then you prepare. You prepare first. He went out and prepared. And you folks are students here at the school. And God is reminding you, you're in a time of preparation. Jesus, if he was the one who set the pattern, then who are we to try to change it? And I know that when I was in school and there were students that said, "Oh, I don't have time. The Lord's coming and I've got to get out there and I'm in an outstation out here. And I'm going to get out there and do this." No, 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 you don't do that. You prepare. Then you preach, and then you produce. And Jesus produced. And so God wants you to prepare spiritually. Now, I spent 30 years in missions. That's not very long. There's others here with much more time than I got. But I'm going to share from you with my heart tonight, every one of you students, and I think you're reading it already. You prepare spiritually. You know, if God can send his son to prepare, and then, listen to this, he sends David to prepare. David is out tending his father's sheep. Now listen to this carefully. Jesus had 3 temptations, and he overcame them. He conquered the devil with the word of God. David's out tending his father's sheep. And what happens? A lion comes out against him. He destroys the lion. A bear comes out against him. He destroys the bear. What is God doing? He's preparing David for a Goliath. And every one of you that are sitting here, you hear me tonight. The things that are happening to you, the hardships that you think are coming, the trials that you are coming, it's your time of preparation. You have not met your Goliath yet. You may think so, but he's coming. Your day in the arena, will come. And you're going to be prepared because you're going to whip your lion and you're going to whip your bear. And you're going to say the same thing that David did. The same God that delivered those into my hands are going to deliver you into my hands. And you're going to see your victory down the road. Your Goliath is coming. And friends, let me tell you this. Whatever you do, now some of you may be discouraged, and I hope there's nobody here tonight, but God inserted this in my message. Whatever you do, you don't quit. Now some of the times, you know, you think, "Oh, I'm going to finish out this semester, and boy, I'm hightailing out of here. There's nobody here in this campus spiritual but me." Well, man, don't leave us here without any spirituality. Stay. Praise God. But the idea is, hey, listen, you got to stick in there. You know, when I was at the University of Kansas many years ago, there was a title fight between Tony Zale and Rocky Graziano. They were fighting for the middleweight championship of the world. This stuck with me, and it still sticks with me. And Zale was the champion from Gary, Indiana. They call him the Man of Steel, the champion. He's fighting in Chicago, not in an air-conditioned ring, but in an open-air a baseball field. And in the 6th round, Zale goes down. He's flat on his back. He's been pummeled. And they're starting to get ready to make the count. And he gets up. He struggles, but he gets up. he gets up. And just as he gets up, the bell rings and saves him. He goes to his corner, comes back, and wins the fight. And the press was talking to him later. And they said, you know, champ, what were you thinking when you were on the floor? You students hear me what I'm saying tonight. He said, I was flat on my back. Every muscle in my body said quit. Every fiber of my being said quit. But he said, you know, the thought hit me. If I lay here and quit, I'm no longer the champion. If you want to be a champion, you get up. And God's saying to you tonight, you get up. And if some of you, your spiritual bodies right now are taking a beating, some of you may be going through a terrible time, and you're thinking, hey, what in the world, God, how much of this can I take? And God's saying to you, get up, get up, keep going, don't quit, because we're more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. And then one other point here that I need to make, scholastically, you get all the education you can. You don't go out to the mission field or your church and think you're going to give them the loaves and fishes every other week and get by. It's not going to work. You got to have something to give. And what do you do? You have to study. And I would recommend, say, well, if I can get a year or two at CBC, that's enough. You get all you can get. Because when you get out there, people got questions for you. You got to have answers. When are you going to learn them? Well, I'm going to do some home study. No, you're not. Not like you should. And I got to tell you, you know, I'm going to share experiences with you tonight. And this happened to be down in the Soviet Union when Brezhnev was the president of Russia. It was tough times. We couldn't even go out. When we go to visit a church, my wife and I, and we couldn't go out and eat with them. We had to eat in the church because they said the nationals can't mix with foreigners, and we were Americans. And they considered me a Billy Graham and an Oral Roberts because I was Pentecostal. So I've got to have the gifts of the Spirit, and I've got all the knowledge like a Billy Graham or something. So I had to know all the answers. And I remember we were there, and so we were having breakfast because we had to catch a train, and we couldn't eat in a restaurant, so they were fixing the breakfast. We had about 25 pastors, well, not pastors, they were assistant pastors and deacons, but they all preach. Because they preach, well, anyway. So they're standing there, and I said, anybody got a question on the Bible? My wife about fainted. She said to me later, she said, what is this guy doing? He's no Stanley Horton. And he's asking if you got a question on the Bible. But my point was, if I didn't say on the Bible, somebody would say to me, how's President Carter doing? How's things in America politically? I don't want political questions. I want spiritual questions. So wouldn't you know, about 15 or 20 hands went up. And I looked around. Now, I'm going to be very transparent with you. I looked around, and I thought, I'll pick a guy that looks easy, you know? And wouldn't you believe, I looked over there, and there's a guy standing there, and he's got his hands just like this. He had a green polo shirt on. I can still see him. I got a slide of him. He's standing there, and I mean, forgive me, but a simple-looking man. And I thought, boy, I'll go with an easy question. Boy, did I get fooled. I said, what's your question, brother? He said, what are the words Urim and Thummim mean on the breastplate of the high priest? I thought, Urim and Thummim, I've never heard of them. Man alive, what is this guy pulling on me? You know, and I thought to myself, I said, Jesus, help me, because, you know, they're all standing there waiting for an answer. And I thought, Urim and Thummim. And so, you know, the Bible says redeem the time, but it doesn't say you can stall a little bit. It doesn't say you can't stall. So I was stalling for time. And I said, you know something, brethren? Let me have a couple more questions and maybe I can weave them all together. And what I was doing was praying, God, give me Urim and Thummim. And so the second question was, the kingdom of God's like a seed you toss in the ground and later there's birds in the branches. And when the guy's asking the question, I'm still saying, Urim and Thummim, Urim and Thummim, God help me. And I said, Stanley Horton, where are you now? And then I said, let me have one more. And I thought, you know, the Bible says he'll bring to your remembrance all the things that you've learned. So I thought, I must have learned it. So it's got to come to me. One more question. The guy's sitting there, he said, what does it mean where the dead body is, there's the eagles also? And I'm still thinking to myself, Urim and Thummim. Urim and Thummim. Boy, wouldn't you know? I said to myself, you know, Lord, either Horton missed that or I was sleeping in class, one of the two. But I'm going to tell you, my point I'm making with this is you got to learn. You may be in a class and it seems dull to you. Who would have believed out there in Russia, the Soviet Union, they're asking about Urim and Thummim. And you know what? I said, Jesus, help me. And you know he did. You know how? The lady fixing the breakfast stepped out and said, breakfast is ready. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, we don't have any more time, you know. But, you know, God will get you off the hook. But the idea is, what I'm saying is, you got to learn scholastically. Do everything you can to retain. He'll bring to your remembrance the things you've learned. Learn while you're here. Praise God, learn. Now, Jesus said, occupy till I come. Friends, I'm going to tell you in this CMF service, we're in a race against time. Oh, you believe me, we're in a race against time, and the world doesn't realize it. Jesus said, occupy till I come. And you know, the disciples wanted to know, when's he coming? People asked, when's he coming? John Kennedy asked Billy Graham before he was assassinated in Dallas. He said, Billy, how does history as we know it now end? And Billy said, history as we know it now ends with the second coming of Jesus Christ. And right after that, John Kennedy went to Dallas. His time was up. And you know, I think there's three great signs, friends, to encourage us tonight that we're in the last days. Three signs that I think, this is my own feeling. Number one, God said in the last days, I'll pour my spirit on all flesh. And we're seeing the baptism of the Holy Spirit spread all around the world. In Russia, in all these countries, people are receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Why? For service, not to save you, but for service, to give you power. Because friends, there's demons out there. There's evil powers out there. And you're not going to go with a little timid in the name of Jesus. You've got to have power, and that power is the Holy Ghost. The second sign, the birth of Israel. When I was in high school, now this is going to date me a lot, but you know, when I was in high school, there wasn't any Israel. And I've gone to churches where people come up to me and said, Brother Makish, I didn't realize that there wasn't any Israel. We've always known Israel. But friends, there wasn't any Israel. And when I was a young man in school, they used to say, you can't believe this book because it talks about a nation Israel, and there is no nation Israel. But friends, in 1948, Israel became a nation. And people sat up and began to take notice. Hey, what's going on here? And friends, I want you to know we're in the last days. And then the third sign to me, since I spent 30 years in Soviet Union, Eastern Europe, is the meltdown of a superpower. If the Bible was being written today, friends, it'd be in there. Do you realize that this great superpower that President Reagan called the evil empire, that we were afraid of, and rightfully so, melted down to nothing without a person being killed? Thank God. Can you say praise the Lord? Not one shot was fired. God brought this thing down. 400 million people back there. Why did he do this? God wants to save them. And you know, I want you to know, those of you that don't have a missionary call yet, boy, when I get through tonight, I hope the Holy Spirit gives you a call to Russia. I told Mandy Pokran, I said, Mandy, I don't know where you're going, but you need to go to Russia. And Austin, you and Matt and Kim and Ashley and Dawn, every one of you. And Sarah, I don't know where she is, but she's here somewhere. Every one of you on that committee, Sarah back there. Think about Russia. Boy, I'll tell you, that great mammoth country, 1/6 of the world's land area, waiting to hear the gospel. Ain't anybody coming on? They don't know what they want to do. They don't know what God wants them to do. I'm telling you, God's saying to get on the ball and get ready to go there. And you know, the Bible said scoffers in the last days are going to come and say, where's the promise of his coming? Everything remains the same since our fathers died. Friends, I want you to know everything's changed out there. It's changed out there. And I want you to now notice this. Jesus, he answers the disciples. They said, Lord, in the 24:1-3, they said, Lord, what's the sign of your coming and the end of the world? And Jesus, I think, answers the question in the 14th verse. He says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. That's my text. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. And that was including the Soviet Union. And friends, listen to this now. A few years ago, Nikita Khrushchev, he was the premier of Russia. He's in the Palace of Congress, is in the Kremlin. He's doing his State of the Union address. He comes to religion. He said, I promise you, now watch the difference between who's saying this. He said, I promise you that someday I'm going to bring to this very platform the last believer in the Soviet Union. You're going to see him on television. And if you want to see a Bible, you're going to have to go to a museum. Now that's what Nikita Khrushchev said. Friends, just a few years later, Bill Bright and the Campus Crusade people had a gospel concert in that same hall. And they're singing, a mighty fortress is our God. The Politburo's gone. But they're there preaching the gospel. And then we had something similar to that in Paul Yonggi Cho. We invited the public, the Russian public. They came to the Kremlin. And can you believe he preaches the gospel and Russians are pouring out of their seats, getting saved in the very spot Khrushchev said he's going to show you the last believer. The difference is Khrushchev amounts to nothing. Jesus is the Son of God. Friends, I'll tell you, people say, oh, you know, the Muslim world says, oh, yes, you know, he's a great prophet. He's a good man, a good teacher. Friends, he's more than that. He's the Son of God. And he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. And it's being preached. And who would have believed? After, you know, I spent out of my 30 years there, about 25 of them with the communists in power. And only it was in the last 5 years when we started the Bible schools that we had so much of a freedom. But I would have never dreamed that someday that Wayne Benson and his people from a church in Grand Rapids would come over and we'd start a church in Moscow and then go to Red Square and hand out gospel tracts for 4 hours. I mean, Red Square, man. I mean, old Lenin turned over in his grave. We're out there passing out tracts. And then the choir members, God bless those choir members. You know, they came up to me and they said, Brother Mackey, do you think we could sing out here? Man, I said, I didn't ask for any permission, but I guess it's all right. But you know, everybody, they're going home. They always do something that's not right, you know, usually. But I have to be there, and I'm looking for the cops, you know. And you know the first song they sing out there? Majesty. Boy, I'm telling you, Red Square. Majesty, worship His majesty. Here they come, boy. People in Red Square. And then, of course, Brother Benson, he's told you this story. And then he preaches and gives an altar call. And I want you to know something. Those people didn't come to be saved. They were like the man Jesus said going across the field and stumbled onto a treasure. They stumbled onto the kingdom but got saved. But why? Because Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. And so we just thank God that, and now there's a tremendous explosion. A tremendous explosion. I just got back from Russia. 3 weeks ago tonight, I was preaching the 10th anniversary of the opening of our Bible school in Moscow. This very night, 3 weeks ago. And I want you to know, friends, there's an explosion out there. Jesus is saving people. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should be brought to repentance. And you know, you stop and think now, just a few years ago, there was in the Russian Republic, there was less than 100 churches of Pentecostal. We're talking about Pentecostal churches. Less than 100. Today, 1,500. Friends, 1,500. Can you say praise God? In the Ukraine, 400 churches. Today, 1,400. I'm rounding these out so you can kind of get them a little bit better. Belarus, which is White Russia. That's where my dad was born and my mom and what was called Belarus. I was born in America, all of our family. But in there, from 150 churches to 450. But I'll tell you what, though. We need teachers. We need preachers. We need, how are those young people going to study? I'll tell you what, friends, right now, you thank God you're in Central Bible College studying. We got Russian kids over there. They can't get in our school. They don't have the money. and we don't have all the subsistence to give them. But what I'm saying is that we needed Bible schools. And if you can imagine, listen to this now, 1992, that's only 10 years ago, I was the only Assembly of God missionary in Russia and Eastern Europe, or in Russia. I got to qualify that. 1992, in the spring of 1992. Today, 10 years later, we've got, each person's a unit, so a man and his wife is two units. So we've got 35 couples, or we could say 70 units, six MAPS workers, 76 missionaries in the former Soviet Union, preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God. But we need more. And God's here tonight to recruit. The Holy Spirit is using me and to some of you, and He's telling you, stay on track, study, get ready. God's got a plan for your life, and He wants you in Russia. You, some of you, listen, you say, oh, Brother Mackey, what about, somebody said they're going to India or China, that's okay. God bless you. But if you're not sure, let the Holy Spirit take charge and get over in Russia and help the cause of Christ in this great country. And then in 1992, listen to this, to show you what God, I was talking about an explosion. 1992, no schools, no Bible schools in Russia, the former Soviet Union, anywhere. God allowed us to open the first Pentecostal Bible school in the history of that country, 1992 in Moscow. Now, friends, I want you to notice something now. 10 years ago, no schools. We opened it in September of 2002. That's what we celebrated 3 weeks ago tonight. Today, we've got eight Bible schools and a seminary. Can you say praise God? That's unbelievable. In just 10 years, how can this happen? And you know, this report that I'm giving you, I'm going to go on here because there's some changes taking place, and I've got a little ways to go. But you know what, Jerry, I'm really pleased at my time. You know, we're holding that clock pretty good. I got power over that clock, and I'm holding it back. But anyway, nobody holds that clock back. But anyway, you know, in Moscow today, you talk about being open. You that are going to go to Russia, you're thinking, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to not have Wheaties, and am I not going to have Welch's grape juice? And what am I going to, hey, listen, there's cars there. I was absolutely shocked at the traffic. There's cars all over the place. You get in just a little delay, and you plan an hour and a half to go to somebody's house. And filling stations everywhere, well, what they are is making a difference, but hope there's tons of them. And cell phones. Man, I never saw so many cell phones since I left America. I mean, people walking like I am, like this somehow, and they got a cell phone. Everywhere you look's a cell phone. But you know what it did? Friends, that cell phone opened up Russia to the world. They can call anybody in the world at any time. It's an incredible thing. What's God done? He's opened it up because God wants to save people. And He wants to save them, and He is going to save them. And can you believe that in Moscow today there's more than 50 McDonald's? 50 McDonald's! You know, I moved to Moscow in 1990, and I lived there for 5 years. And when I moved there, they only had one McDonald's. It was the largest in the world, over 700 seats. And you know, today with over 50, and most of them with drive-ins or drive-thrus. But you know, interestingly enough, Taco Bell wanted to open a franchise at the same time McDonald's got one. And Gorbachev turned them down. And this is what's been told to me. Gorbachev turned it down. They said, how come you wouldn't let any Taco Bell into Moscow? He didn't like their ad. The ad that they had, he didn't like it because the ad said, run for the border. He did not like that. He said, and you know, there's still no Taco Bells there. So anyway, but these are part of the changes. And I want to tell you the seriousness now, friends. This thing with President Putin, because people ask me, how's Putin doing? Now, all of you know that terrible thing that happened in Moscow with the hostages. But you got to understand something, folks. Chechnya is not a republic that just wants to be free. And everybody's saying, oh, the poor Chechens, they want to be free, and Russia won't let them, and they just keep oppressing them. They want their freedom. It's a hotbed for terrorists. All the gangsters in Russia run to Chechnya. And then you see what happens, taking those hostages with 40. And I'm not going to delay. I'm not going to stay on this point. But I want you to know something. Putin's got a lot of his hands full. But I'll say one thing. I asked the brethren, I said, now, brethren, is Putin helping you in the churches? They said, no, not necessarily helping us, but he's not against us. So having somebody there that's not against you is a good sign. So what they're saying, and you can remember this, if somebody says, what do the churches think about Putin? They say, we're rooting for Putin. So just keep that in your mind. They're rooting for Putin up till now. And then there's not missions without changes. But friends, let me tell you something. I think I was sharing with the committee at the table. You know, missions is exciting. It's exciting. It's fraught with dangers. It's fraught with all kind of things. But it's exciting to see the rewards that come with being out there working for Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm glad I'm not with some of those guys that are out there for Hare Krishna or, no, Hare Krishna. You know, they're out there doing something. No. Man, I'm for Jesus Christ. And every track we gave in Russia, I want a picture of Jesus on it. Boy, I want you to know who I'm tied to. I'm tied to the Son of God. So we were, but I'll tell you, your feelings can kind of get in the way sometimes. But friends, I'm going to tell you what protects you is the fact that you're anointed of God, sent by God, wherever you're going, whatever field you go to. And I learned something about feelings. You know, my feelings kind of go up and down different ways. And we were going out to Siberia to start a work in Irkutsk. That's in central Siberia. 4.5 hours just to get there. We get in this Russian air float. Boy, their airplanes, the old airplanes, were terrible. You had to have faith to get in it. We got in this plane. I had 8 choir members from White Russia, Belarus. That's what they call it. That's what it means, Belarus. And they were sitting in front of me, six girls and 2 guys. There was 8 of them. And what happens, we get about an hour out of Moscow. I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden this airplane, it's, instead of flying like it should, it's going like this. And boy, we all knew something's wrong. Something is wrong. And here comes the purser. He opens the door, and it didn't have bins up there. It had shelves. And so, you know, it's an old plane. It didn't have bins like they do now. And so the luggage is sitting up there. He's telling people, get the luggage out and put it down at your feet. Well, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. We're in trouble. Boy, I looked at that and I said, man, I always thought I'd die on a plane. That thought crossed my mind. I thought, man alive, God, what in the world? That thing's going like this. And here comes the stewardess down the aisle. I said, something wrong with the plane? She said, yeah, it's broken. I said, broken? What does that mean? She said, we've lost one engine. We're way overweight and we're heading back to Moscow if we can make it. And I mean, this was no joke, folks. I'm telling you, we were scared. And the Oriental people on the plane, I just happened to notice that they had their heads back on the chairs. And everybody else had their heads down like this. I mean, they're figuring, hey, we're coming toward the end. And you know, I thought to myself, well, it looks like we're going to die. Now, friends, I couldn't be more serious in my life. I prayed, God's hearing this story. And I said, if I'm going to die, I'm going to pray for my family. So I said, I prayed for my daughter. She's the oldest. I prayed for my son. I prayed for my grandson. And I prayed for my sisters. And I thought, I want that recorded in heaven. Before I die, I prayed for my family. And you know, wouldn't you know, in the middle of that terrible thing I'm going through, a funny story comes to me. And it's given by my former superintendent, Daryl Musgrove. He told this some years ago. And it came to me. And I thought, what in the world? And the story was this. A guy was taking a driving test for an 18-wheeler. And the examiner said, here's your situation. You're in an 18-wheeler. You're on a mountain grade. It's an 80% grade. Your driver is right next to you. And he's asleep. and your brakes have gone out, and there's a train coming, and it's time, so you and the train will hit at the same time. What are you going to do? He said, well, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to wake up Fred, my assistant driver. He said, what's he going to do? He said, nothing. He said, well, what are you waking him up for? He says, because old Fred ain't ever going to see a wreck like this again. And that came to me, and I said, boy, if I'm going to die, I'm going to see this wreck. And, you know, I put my hands up on this thing like this, and I was just looking out the windows. And wouldn't you know, we're circling Moscow to burn up some fuel. And all at once, the other engine goes out. And I want you to know, we just started belly down. It just went. And I really did, folks. I raised my hands in that seat, and I said, Jesus, here I come. And I meant it. But you know, let me tell you something. I was scared, but I wasn't afraid. You just figure that one out. I was scared, but I wasn't afraid. There was something in her. I wasn't afraid. And, you know, I prayed, and then I said, boy, Lord, help this. Oh, and then the sweetest sound. I'm glad I'm here tonight. And, you know, the sweetest sound is that other engine coming back on. And if you've ever heard a engine come on, boy, just whee, like that. Boy, and I said, glory to God. And I said, Jesus, help that pilot to bring this plane in. And the Lord seemed to speak to my heart and said, he wants to live too. He's going to do his best. Boy, and I mean, we were coming in, and this plane, with that engine gone, it was going like this, you know. It was going like this. And boy, that meant if we hit that tarmac and that wing catches it, we're like this. And I'm history. And the thought crossed my mind that it really did, that maybe the Assemblies of God will put a plaque out there in that airport. Bob Mackish gave his life out here. I said, there'll be a plaque if I'm lucky. And boy, that plane, he put that thing on the tarmac, and he put that thing in reverse, that one engine. And I mean to tell you, everybody started clapping. I looked out the window as we were coming in, and there was fire engines, ambulances out there. That's how close we came. And I thought, God, you talk about stressed out, folks. I mean, you don't know what stress is. This was not stress squared. It was stress cubed. Boy, and I thought, so we gathered, we regrouped out there. And oh, the choir, by the way, I forgot to tell you, when we were going through this, that choir was speaking in tongues, loud. Boy, I mean, you know, you're a little bit afraid somebody's going to hear your tongues. Not that choir. Boy, they were out there in tongues loud. Well, we were out there, and the air float girl came up, and she said, hey, I got good news for you. So what is it? She said, we got another plane ready in 4 hours. You'll be ready to go. Everybody there said, except me, said, praise the Lord. Man, this missionary didn't want any more planes. I mean, I didn't want to go build no churches for anybody. I wanted to go home. I'm telling you my heart. I wanted to go home and pop some popcorn and drink some Pepsi and go to bed and think about it in another day or two. And boy, so they got this other plane. And I mean, we got on that plane, and boy, it was a little rabbit. And we took off, and we went out there to Irkutsk. We evangelized. Friends, what a privilege. What a privilege. And I want to tell you this tonight before we go any farther, and I'm coming toward the end now. You may go to the mission field and think you're doing God a favor, but I'm going to tell you something. He's doing you a favor. It's the greatest life you can ever have. You're being in CBC. You say, I'm here for God. He's doing you a favor. He's got something special for you. He's got a plan ready for you that for you to accomplish for him. And you know, we're in a race against the clock. All of us sitting here, we got clocks ticking. There's a clock ticking. You know, the Chiefs and the Rams play, and there's a clock up there. CBC basketball team play, there's a clock up there. You can see when the end of the game's coming. The game of life, there's no clock. None of us know, and behooves us to make sure that we do all we can. And my thought to you tonight is this: where are you now, and what time is it? Where are you now? You're in CBC studying, getting ready for what God's called you to do. What time is it? We're in the last days. That trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to go. So we don't know when this can happen, but we're working at it. And I'll tell you, somebody I've always felt sorry for is Princess Diana. you know, 26 years old, a beautiful lady. Man, here she is, heir to the throne, her husband would be. And she gets in that car and goes into that tunnel and doesn't know it, but her clock is about to go off. There's no time left. It's over with. And all the flowers, I cry every time I see it on TV. Thousands of bouquets of flowers because a young life is taken. But none of us know when that time is, so we do our very best. And then, you know, with this, I'm going to close. This is my last story. But this story here, I have to tell you, you know, these are the impressions that God left me with. And I'm sharing this with you tonight for missions. But one of the joys, when I went to Romania for the first time, now we're switching out of the Soviet Union, but I used to have all of that Eastern Europe, and I was in Romania. And it was one of my first visits there. And in Romania, you could only go to church in those days under Ceausescu. He was the communist president of Romania. You could only go to church twice a week, Saturday night from 7 to 9 and Sunday morning from 9 till 2. You could only stay in church 5 hours on Sunday. By law, you had to leave. Well, that's not our problem here in America. You know, that certainly isn't. But so they told me it was my turn to preach. We had four preachers that day, and they said, Brother Makish, if you don't preach an hour, they'll never have you back. Boy, I thought, boy, God, you've sent me to the right place. Man, I mean, a preacher in less than an hour, that's wonderful. And you know, we were there, but we had to close at 2. So I'd been preaching, and I had my interpreter here, and they had people standing all around the windows. They took the windows out, and they had these the window's out. And so I was preaching. I looked up at the clock. It's 5 minutes till 2. I thought, man, I have got to get over with this message. And so in my church in Wichita, when I was there, I used to just close the service many times by just saying, let's all stand and praise the Lord. Well, in my church, it might be 5 minutes, and that was it, at the most. But not in Romania. I mean, they start praising God and praising God. I had my arms up, and I thought, boy, God, this is marvelous. And I had my eyes closed, and I know my arms are getting tired. So I looked up at the clock. It was 10 after 2. And I thought, man, this isn't too bad. This is wonderful. Never heard anything like this. Next thing I know, it's almost 2:20. And then I looked over at the window, and there's a guy in a uniform standing there with his bill down like this, looking at me just like this. Mad. And I said, and the devil hit me, and he said, boy, you're finished. He said, that's the police out there, and they're going to close this church, kick you out of the country, and what's Springfield going to think about that? And man, I forgot all about Springfield. I said, oh, God, that's right. What am I going to do? And the first time in my life, I said, God, how do you stop this? I always was telling people, keep in, don't keep on, let's go. And I thought, how are you going to stop this? And wouldn't you know, I said, God, help me. Help your servant, your faithful servant. And then I asked the interpreter, I said, by the way, who's that at the window? He said, it's a mailman. I said, everybody, praise God. Keep praising God. I said, don't stop now. It's wonderful. Well, the pastor, when I got through, the pastor went and he said, let's pray. And in Romania, they all kneel to pray. Everybody kneels and prays. And this is my punchline, folks. I left the pulpit, and on my side of the building, there were about 40 people there, little girls with their headscarves, older women, people of all ages. It had rained the night before, and it just rained enough to where the leaves would stick to the ground. And when the pastor said, we're going to pray, and the word went outside that we're going to pray, that whole group knelt in the mud, put their hands like little children, and I was just getting ready to kneel down. I looked out there, and I burst into tears, and I saw these people praying in the mud, and someone said to me, you know, Brother Makish, we heard them praying out there, and they said, Lord, there's no room in your house for us, but don't forget us out here. God, don't forget us out here. And my challenge to you tonight, friends, they're out there. They're wanting to know, hey, we're telling them there is room in God's house. But don't forget them out there. They're out there. And I would like to encourage every one of you here, somehow, just remember what we're saying here tonight. What is God saying to us? And I want to close with these things that inspire me. You know, God's speaking through, he's speaking through these ads on TV. Boy, I listen to them. I want you listen to me now and tell me they're not God speaking to you. Reebok ad: life is short, play hard. Hey, young people, life is short, play hard. Nike's ad: just do it. Just do it. I can. Kellogg's ad: tomorrow is never. Seize the day. Oh, friends, hear me. Tomorrow's never. Seize the day. Take advantage of the day. And then the one that I always like was the impossible dream. You know, I hear it on the radio, and sometimes I pull my car over because it inspires me. And, the man from La Mancha, he says, to dream the impossible dream is to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, and to run where the brave dare not go, to try when your arms are too weary, and to be willing without question or pause to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know that if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this. One person, scorned and covered with scars, strove with their last ounce of courage to reach those unreachable stars. And friends, today I want you to know that those stars are reachable. The Holy Spirit has opened up the entire world. Jesus is getting ready to come. Where are you now? And what time is it? God has you in school, and he's saying to you, study, prepare yourself spiritually. Get ready, because you're here by divine appointment. You didn't stumble into this school. The Holy Spirit brought you to this school. The Holy Spirit's got a plan for your life, and you're right in the center of it. And God's saying, get ready. Jesus is counting on you. Young people, get ready. He's counting on you. Praise God. Let's stand together. And I'm going to have prayer with you. And what I'd like for you to do is, which we all do, we come to the altar. We say, God, here I am. And I want to tell you, in my case, I was sharing with Mandy and the committee that, when I was here at school, I didn't have a missions call. Here I was, I'm running Eastern Europe in the Soviet Union for the Assemblies of God. I was sitting where you're sitting. I didn't have a call. I knew that God was going to send me to pastor maybe somewhere. But they used to say in these services, if you'll make yourself available, come to the front. We're going to pray with you. It said, those of you that have a missions call, come up here. I'm going to pray with you. And if you would make yourself available, come with them, or get out in the aisle. And that's what I did. I usually didn't come up because I didn't want somebody to think that I had a missions call. And I don't know why that was, but I always stepped out into the aisle. And what God is saying tonight is the Holy Spirit wants to do a special work here. And I believe that some of you have got financial problems. And by the way, pay your bills. I don't want to kill this service here tonight. But boy, I'll tell you what, you sign your name to something and say, fooey with it. No, you're going nowhere. I'm sorry. It's going to be tough. Pay your bills. If you give somebody your word, do it. Whatever it is. Boy, I hope that didn't hurt too bad here tonight. But anyway, what I'm saying is God gave me that. You guys believe me. And get ready. Study. But we're gonna pray together now. And what I start saying, some of you got finances. Some of you need a touch in your body. Now, I don't know. I'm just going to pray from right up here. And God can hear the prayer. But God's going to honor the word tonight. God's going to honor what we've said here tonight. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it's being preached. You're here to preach. And I'm going to believe God as you come. And I guess we can do it. Peter, are you going to sing?
Sure.
But do it quietly, though, because they won't hear my prayer.
That's fine.
Okay. I don't, I'm sorry, Pete, don't get me wrong on that.
That's good.
But, okay, let's just do it. Jerry, is that what we do? Mandy, is that what we do? All right, those of you, come on, those of you that either have a missions call or that you'll make yourself available for missions, come on up here. And some of you, I want you to go to bed with Russia on your mind. The former Soviet Union, they're waiting for you out there. They want you out there. Let's stand here. Let's stand, guys. Come up here. Let's all stand till we pray, and then we'll have you kneel down and pray. Come on, those of you that, oh, that's great. That's a great. Give a little room here. Give a little room. And don't forget, when you're doing something for God, take charge. Don't let the, well, anyway. Okay. Come on, you guys scoot over a little bit. Mandy, you guys come on over. Austin, attaboy. God bless you. Praise God. I'll tell you what, this is a great victory for the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you what, when you tonight, when you go to bed, you just kind of let the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, just let me repeat some of the things that I heard tonight that I need to hear. He'll do it. And then just believe, it's God giving it to you. Don't you ever believe the devil's telling you to get out that mission field. Not at all. He's going to try to stop you. He's going to try to stop you. And God's going to see you through and make it. So, all right, I want you to do, I just want you to unite your faith now with me right now. We're going to believe God, and I'm going to believe some very eternal things are going to happen here. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, God, we pray, the name of the Son of God. Oh, God, you see these hearts, you see these lives, God. They've come here because they love you, Lord, and they want to do your will. And Father, I pray in the name of the Son of God that you strengthen them in the inner man. God, help them, Lord, and help them in these needs that they have, whether it's financial, whether it's a spiritual need, whether it's a physical need. Oh, God, I pray in Jesus' name, touch these people right now, Lord. May there be a great victory for them tonight. And may they go home and know that on this date, God did something special for them. And Father, may they know that somewhere out there in the world, there's people waiting for them, and they're going to affect the kingdom of God, and they're going to enhance the kingdom of God through their ministry. Bless them now, Father, I pray. And for those that are not sure at this point where you want them to go or what you want them to do, I pray, Lord, that you'll help them. And may they know somehow in the inner recesses of their heart that God wants me to go to India. God wants me to go to Latin America. God wants me to go to Japan, to the Far East. God wants me to go there. And God, by your grace, you're going to see that they get there. You're going to help them, God. And I pray, Father, success for them in every way and for the success of this school. And Lord, I ask this in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise. Let's give God a praise offering. Let's just praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, friends, what I'd like for you to do, this one last thing for me. A few years ago, now Brother Charles Harris was up on his platform, and he knows it, but I had some Russians that were here, and then one other time I had the communist director of Protestant religion for Poland. He's a communist. And he came to America. We brought him here. We visited Central Assembly. We visited a church in Kansas City. We went to David Wilkerson's. We went to Jimmy Swaggart's. We saw all kinds of services. Now I want you to listen to this. I shared this with Jerry Felley and at the table. And I said to him, Mr. Dushik, I said, of all the places that we've been, what impressed you the most? And friends, you listen to me. I'm telling you. This communist, he says, the thing that I remembered the most when we were in the CBC chapel, Central Bible College, and the students had their hands raised, praising God. He's dead now. I'm hoping somehow that through the services that he was in when we preached and he heard preaching, he gave his heart to God. I'm hoping someday you'll see him in heaven. But wherever he is, his last words to me, the students at Central Bible College with their hands raised praising God. And that's my request to you before the team comes up and takes over. Let's raise our hands and just praise God together. Would you do that with me? Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you and thank you, God. Blessed be your name, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, God, for calling us. And thank you, God, for bringing us here to the school. Oh, God, we thank you and we love you, Lord. We praise your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever and ever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where's Mandy or Jerry? Where's Jerry and Mandy? Oh, Mandy, come on. Are you the one dismissing the service? Okay. Praise God.
Well, I think that God is definitely still doing something huge. And like Brother Mackish said, that God called us first, you know, to prepare. And we have the opportunity tonight to just continue to pray and just prepare spiritually. Because there's definitely, like even Brother Fent preached today, there's a fight going on right now. And we have to fight to keep our call. And before we can go out there, like Brother Mackish said, and preach the word, we had to prepare. Not only do we prepare in the classroom, but we can prepare supernaturally through our prayers. And so tonight, I just want to challenge you with everything in you. If you want to go ahead and kneel down and make a place to pray, Peter, if you can play some worship. But we really need to prepare spiritually to fight for our call.
Hey, I forgot one thing. You women, let me say something real quick. You women, God bless you. You preach. You put something in, if you go to sing or if you go to pray, whatever you do, put some power in it. Don't take a second place with somebody. Well, I'm a lady. I don't know why they've asked me to speak today. Jesus asked you to speak. Get up there. There's no male and female in Christ. In Russia, we opened our schools to the women. I'm telling you, we opened a school with 55 students, 51 boys, 4 girls. 4 girls were 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, they're doing great. Some of them out in Siberia preaching the gospel. Hey, you put everything you into it. I want to throw that in there, Mandy. So anyway, God bless you girls. Amen. Okay, go ahead.
But if we could just find a place to pray and really just spend some time just saturating the call and just praying that God would prepare us spiritually and supernaturally before anything. Because before we can preach, man, we better be willing to be on our knees. I remember this one quote. I'm going to close with this. As God said, if you want to be powerful publicly, the only way to be powerful publicly is to be plugged into prayer privately. You can only do in God what you walk in God. So tonight I challenge you to just get on our face before God and spend some time as Peter goes ahead and closes this out.
Jesus, my beloved Savior.